Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, a Reiki master teacher and medium and author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of awakening, coincidences, synchronicity, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to know and use your intuition to create a healthy, positive, productive life journey. Today I welcome Melanie Tonia Evans, author of You Can Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse, who is a survivor herself and founder of Quanta Freedom Healing, which has helped many worldwide to thrive in abuse-free lives. Hello, Melanie, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within to discuss narcissism and the many people who suffer when in a relationship with someone suffering from this disorder.
Hi, Cheryl. It's my joy to be here with you.
Great. Melanie, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect over the years, my guests and I share intimate, challenging experiences and insights into the growing awareness that comes from being open-minded and following our intuitive soul-based energy as we navigate the physical world, and we eventually come to realize that we are more than our bodies and have many tools available to help us manifest a better quality of life, as we're also learning to release fears and limitations that may hold us back from realizing our full potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Melanie Tonia Evans will share with us an understanding of what narcissism is and how the levels of narcissism are different, and how we may recognize if we are in a narcissistic, dangerous relationship, and how to remove oneself from the narcissist's ability to affect or abuse you. We can identify the subconscious program which hooked us in to begin with, so we can learn to heal and go on to thrive, not simply survive. We will learn, perhaps, that often those that attract narcissists are people pleasers who subjugate their own needs. Melanie, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and or younger years and remember a person, a place, or an event that may have signaled to them, or perhaps to others around them, the lifestyle, work, or values that would be prevalent throughout their lives. So think back for a minute.
Oh, what a great question.
I get great answers. That's
Oh, gosh. Cheryl, do you know, I think I was kind of one of those spiritual kids who, when I was young, my animals inspired me. I really found it difficult to connect with and trust with people. And I think, you know, a lot of empaths and a lot of spiritual teachers and healers might relate to this.
I certainly do.
I found a lot of solace and I found a lot of love in my animals. Yeah. It was only later when I learned how to release trauma and really up-level myself that I was able to connect to humans in a really heartfelt, soul-felt way.
Well, that's because animals really feel. They feel what we're feeling. They're empathic too,
and they're there so unconditional.
And they're there to support spiritual growth. And I could just give you a little example. When my daughter purchased or adopted or took on a little puppy about a year ago, he was so tiny, and I could sense that he had anxiety because he was in a house with a lot of people and different energies. He was so little, and I gave him Reiki, and he put his head up, and he like felt like a jolt of energy. And the next time, weeks later, that I gave it to him, he actually bowed his head.
Oh,
because he understood the connection and felt so comfortable in it. So I understand what you felt as a child. I felt that with a lot of people, but unfortunately, I also picked up a lot of pain and fear that other people were feeling and had to figure out, why is this in the world? Because I expected more smiles and joy and happiness and goodness. And sometimes
Oh, yes.
I
I
didn't
think we can
understand.
relate to that.
Yes. So let's go
Definitely.
on to, please describe what is narcissistic personality disorder. You know, we all have some narcissistic qualities at times, but
Totally,
there's a
totally.
big difference. So tell
There's
us
a
about it.
Cheryl, there's a massive difference because all of us can have a bad day and be even nasty and unreasonable. But the difference between somebody who has a moment of that is that they can say, look, I'm really sorry. I wasn't, being
Right.
very nice just then. But a narcissist will roll like that consistently. So they're, and how you realize you're with somebody with narcissistic personality disorder is they're really emotionally insecure. So they get bent out of shape and they take umbrage very, very easily. They get triggered very easily and they're unreasonable when they are triggered and they can be very nasty and they have a huge sense of entitlement. So they believe that you should march to their drum, that you should have included them, that you shouldn't talk about other people in affirming ways, that you're being disloyal if you do that. So there's all these things that you start to realize, hang on, you're making it all about yourself
Yeah,
and your.
they can be a pathological liar, and they can talk to
Oh,
other people about you
totally.
and make other people think you're the problem. They are great at passing blame and putting the problem on another person when it's coming from within themselves, and they're projecting
So
this on others.
true.
Yeah, it's a scary thing, and they can be quite charming. They can be attractive, they can be intelligent, but they're lacking what we were talking about earlier with the animals, that sense of empathy or feeling of connection, because they're really damaged people from childhood. They're probably had emotional neglect or abuse when they were growing up, and they probably only knew conditional love. So they had to perform for any crumb, a bit of attentional love they got, and it damaged them very badly.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think one of the ways, because narcissists really make your head spin. You don't know what's up, you don't know what's down. But one of the ways that you can really know that you're dealing with somebody with narcissistic personality disorder is they're not looking for solution and resolution with you, and you'll go through cycles in the relationship whereby things aren't getting better. They're not improving. You're not getting a resolution. You're not getting any reform. And in the arguments that you have with them when you're trying to make a narcissist accountable, they will or understand or hear you or validate you. They're not interested in your feelings. And they will, as you said, they will project, they will blame throw, they will make excuses. They will bring up things from the past that you
Yeah.
thought were resolved months or even years ago. They will bring in details that aren't even relevant to the topic. They'll use allies. They'll say, well, Joe at work said this about you, or so and so does this, or has this, or says this. And it's like it hasn't even got anything to do with them.
You know,
So.
it's like the circle, the wheel keeps spinning the same
Oh,
thing
yeah.
over and over again. And the
Yes.
pattern doesn't change, the arguments don't change, and the
No.
way they treat the person, they don't treat everyone like this, but they do treat someone who they feel close enough to and confident enough in that they can, just fool them long enough, a little longer, let this
It's very
game go on.
true.
It's for them, it may be a game, but they're in tremendous pain also. That
Oh gosh, yes.
is the truth. But let's go on to you're telling us a little bit more how you got started in a relationship. With a narcissist, how it happened for you. I can hear in your voice what a kind, gentle person, loving
Oh,
person you
thank
are.
you.
And those are exactly the kind of people that these people pick out for themselves because they know they're intelligent, they have integrity, they will stick with the situation and try to improve it. They're a people pleaser and they're someone who wants everyone to be happy. So they know exactly what type of person to get involved with that will be slow to see how they're reacting and what the problem is, because people with a big heart, a kind heart, want to see the best in others, and it takes a while to see this pattern or situation. So tell us how it started for you.
Cheryl, like a lot of us, it was a love relationship for myself. So I got to 35 years of age. I'd had unsuccessful relationships. I'd done a heap of work on myself, but only cognitively at that stage. I really thought I was sorted. And I met this man who seemed to be the manifestation of my dreams. He was intelligent and handsome and spiritual and all these things, and I thought, oh my goodness. And we were so deeply connected very, very quickly. Within 6 weeks, we were engaged, which was the first time in my life I'd wanted to marry somebody at 35. We were married within 4 months. I was swept off my feet, but even before we were married, there was these warning signs and this weird stuff that I'd never seen. He was intensely possessive. He was pretending to have a cancer condition which didn't exist. That was apparently, oh yeah, that apparently was serious and could be terminal. Was falsifying records and all sorts of things. And there was major abuse happening even before the marriage. But unfortunately, like a lot of kind, giving people, I had very poor boundary function. Even his son had told me about lies that he'd told ex-girlfriends, etc. But you know what? I didn't want to upset him. I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to stop this vision and dream of this magical man loving me and wanting me to be his wife. So, and I was deeply mesmerized and obsessed by him and loved him. And, I felt this deep, deep soulmate connection that I've never felt. So I went along. I went along, even though my inner being was screaming at me at times, there's something really not right here. I went along, and it ended up being incredibly abusive. It ended up being physically, mentally, financially, sexually, every level of abuse. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Sleeping with the Enemy. I think it was Julia Roberts in it. It was kind of a creepy, really weird movie. And I remember seeing it years prior and watching that and thinking, oh, that would never happen to me. I would never tolerate being in something like that. It ended up being exactly like that. It was, and yet, and what shocked me, Cheryl, was that I couldn't let go. I was, even though he was, it ended up, even though he was destroying me, I couldn't understand why I was hooked, why I was addicted. And of course, later on, I did, and I healed that. But at the time, and of course he was very charming. He was actually a professional con man. This is what I ended up finding out about him in a business sense. But he had everybody around us conned. So my family, my
The
friends,
people that I have met that have this disorder can trick people for a very long time.
oh yes.
And then eventually they do get caught up in a lie here or there, or something happens. They do have consequences at some point
Yes,
because they're living
absolutely.
in chaos and disorder within themselves. And eventually something does happen. But you did get him to a therapist. How'd that go?
Oh, not well.
I don't think so, because they don't think there's anything wrong with them.
Well, he did what some narcissists will do, where it's the end of the line and you kind of get enough strength to get out and stay out, which Off and on, I'd go back over and over again. But at one point, I was out and he hit his feigned or real, who knows really, at that point, narcissistic injury rock bottom, where he was like, I'll do anything to save the marriage. I'll go see a therapist and da da da. So we went to joint therapy, which was horrible because, he was in there for narcissistic supply, and he was also a false pathological self that, he believed his version of reality because he was so disordered. So, he ended up spinning and turning, or trying to get the therapist to put it all back on me, which was shocking. And then at another point down the track, when I did kind of leave and stay out for an amount of time, there was another therapist involved who was a personality disorder therapist, and she saw him and myself separately, and she said to me that, he is suffering narcissistic personality disorder, and you've got four options here. Either he'll kill you, you'll kill yourself, you're going to die of a terminal illness, or you're going to end up having a complete psychotic
Yeah,
breakdown. There's no
when I read that, that's the
help.
first time I had read it that way. I said, yes, this is how dangerous being involved with a
Oh, yeah.
person like this is. It's not a game.
No,
And
it's not.
they cannot really, I don't think, be cured. I really think it's like borderline personality, a very, it is a bit of borderline personality. Where a person just sees themselves a certain way and doesn't see the reality of the damage they're doing to other people, because you give the common symptoms, the five common symptoms of narcissistic abuse syndrome. And these are very important for our listeners to know, because when they know this, they will be able to see it in people that they're dealing with. So tell us something about the five symptoms. The first one is emotional insecurity.
Absolutely. And that's the stuff where, these people are getting triggered, on a dime, and they're just people think that narcissists are full of themselves and they've got heaps of confidence. Well, they don't. They actually are deeply insecure, damaged people. So when you get close and intimate with them, and you're, alone with them, or they often will not do that in public. They may, but they usually
Or
will
they
not
might,
do it.
they might, if they're not receiving enough attention in a group setting, they stir up some
That's right.
trouble or exit the scene and then later chastise you and degrade you. I've seen
That's
this
right.
happen. I have
That's
seen this
right.
happen. And I say, what's wrong with that person? Why are they acting like this?
And in
Yeah.
front of people, they'll be passive aggressive. So, as you said, they'll exit the scene, or they may kind of start a controversial argument to get themselves back in the spotlight, or whatever they do. But it's that real, stripping you down, ripping you down, just with insane conversations about, how dare you give him or her attention and leave me out of it. And, you're so disloyal to me, and nobody believes in your bravado. And who are you trying to have the center of attention? All that kind of stuff, because they're feeling jealous and left out and overlooked, which is a huge insult to a narcissist. So, the second one, which I touched on before, is the entitlement. So, narcissists believe that they are entitled to your energy, they're entitled to your stuff. They're entitled to and claim. So they have an
Oh,
over
yeah, you're sort of there to
developed
serve them. It's all about them.
about them.
They don't really
Absolutely.
understand what other people need, nor are they capable of providing it, nor do they want to. So, yeah, that's very important. Okay, so we've got emotional insecurity and an extreme sense of entitlement. Then we go on to one that is very interesting, circular arguments that just don't make sense. Explain that to us.
Yeah, so narcissists have got a huge range of defense mechanisms, and I identified about 21 of them throughout the years. So what happens is if they're asked to be accountable or to take responsibility for their behavior or their actions, they will immediately spin into, it's kind of like the kid, well, I didn't take that cookie, you know, that wasn't my hand in the jar.
I have to tell you something.
Yeah, too.
You just hit on something that happened to me with a person who has this disorder, where I was at a place where there was cookies brought in a big basket, and that night I had a meeting, and I had brought my own cookies for my group, and
Okay.
I noticed the basket was gone, and the very next day someone said to me, "Cheryl, did you take those cookies?" I said, "What? I had
Oh,
just come
no.
back." Well, who told you that? And they told me who said it. I said,
Well, they would have.
they were the one that was the one suffering from this problem, and also who created such a scene, and lied, and it came it and it came it all came out. I said, "You know who really did it."
That's
So,
exactly right.
and it all came out, but that it took years for that to happen.
Oh gosh, and that's another really valid point is that these people will blame you with what they are doing.
Exactly. And they get away with it for a long time. It's like a circus, a narcissistic three-ring circus. I think you
Oh, it
use
is.
that term. Then we go on to the fourth, where you
Yes.
may know, a
Oh.
narcissist problem here, pathological lying, because they've got this grandiose self-delusion covering up
Oh,
their
yeah.
fragile inner identity, and they're acting out a completely different script because they want you to think they're this person, quite different from who they really are. So
Oh, gosh. Absolutely.
that's a very
And
serious problem.
it is, as a false self, a narcissist has killed off their true self and they're living through a fictitious character. So they often don't know what's the truth and what isn't. They're living in a grandiose
Yes, they do.
fantasy.
They do believe it. They actually do believe the
And that's
lies
what
they're
makes
telling.
it very hard to detect because when a grown adult looks another grown adult in the eyes and passionately believes a fabricated truth, well, then that other person is often like, well, why would a grown adult be telling me that unless it's the truth? People tend to believe narcissists a lot. And when there's, we call them flying monkeys, when they get their minions to do their bidding and to smear you and turn against you, and they're telling them outrageous lies about you. People do think that. They think, well, why would an adult tell me that? And why would they lie to me about that? That must be the truth. They're looking me straight in the eye. Narcissists can be quite hard to detect with their
I know,
lies.
that's what I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand how nobody else saw what I was seeing.
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't really understand it, but I because a lot of the people they have around them are people who have certain of the nine traits that make us susceptible to narcissistic abuse. They put
Oh,
themselves in
yeah.
a place with people who will protect them and not only tolerate them, but almost like it. The treatment they're getting. So, can you tell us any of those nine traits that would make a person susceptible to this abuse?
Well, this has been all of us that have been abused by narcissists. And the things is, when we start understanding these things, we can take our focus off the narcissist, who we can never change or fix or modify in any way. We really can't. But when we start healing these aspects of ourselves, we can evolve ourselves beyond narcissists and being hooked into them and addicted to them and trying to get them to reform. We actually can reform and heal ourselves and start to thrive beyond them. So this is the stuff I'm very passionate about. And these are
Healing,
the.
yes, ways to heal.
Oh,
Yeah, some of the ways are to recognize the abuse you may have suffered yourself as a child and being unable to speak up for yourself since you have high integrity levels and a very, intelligent. You really want to put your all into all
Yeah.
relationships surviving, and you have a sense of security. Maybe you want to clean up the mess, and so you don't want to be a flat leaver and just run away and leave that person. And
Yeah,
deep
yeah.
down, you might even feel that you're being loved for your efforts and accomplishments. So you have to keep accomplishing and providing this other person with what they need because you're good at that, and that's what you should do.
Yeah, no, it's
But it's not really what we need to do.
no. And the thing is, if we've grown up in a childhood whereby it was conditional love, or we had neglect or abuse, or we just had parents that were very, very busy and they might have provided for us on a practical way, but they didn't meet our inner being, and we didn't grow up knowing that we were whole and lovable and acceptable for who we are. We may have believed that the only way that I can get love and acceptance is to earn it, or prove my worth, or give other people what they want, and forego my own needs and my own desires so that I can get other people to provide me love, approval, survival, and security. So if we didn't grow up from a very codependent, very dependent child as we were on our parents for love, approval, survival, and security, if we didn't make the transition into a whole, solid, inner identity adult who could be a source to ourselves, we are very, very susceptible to handing our
And I
power
want to
away to
tell you,
people.
yes, Melanie, I want to tell you that's many, many people who have
Most of
come from
us.
home, most of us, who have
Most
come
of
from
us.
homes like this, because, as you say, the parents had their own issues growing up. They carry it forward, they give it to their children. It's like
Yep.
generation after generation of emotional independence. Not independence, emotional dependence, and wanting to
Yes.
please and wanting to be loved, and that is part of the problem that allows these other people, narcissist personality disorder people, to thrive, because there are so many like that
Yes.
who are susceptible to them. So
Yes.
I want to thank you, Melanie Tonia Evans, for sharing your personal challenges and for devising a method and understandings that we just talked about to help others recognize people and situations that will affect our health, positivity, and inability to personal growth through being in a relationship with someone who has this narcissism personality disorder and the abuse that is associated with such a person. To learn more about this toxic relationship and how to avoid or escape it, read You Can Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse. You can go to Amazon.com to purchase a copy. This is a very informative book and a very important book for most of our listeners to read. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discovered the trauma that can result as a result of being involved with a person suffering from narcissistic personality disorder, which, similar to a psychopath or sociopath, has little hope to improve their own tragic view of life and the demons that cause the drama and chaos that lives within. And unfortunately, as we said before, there are many more of people who suffer with this and related illnesses like borderline personality than we would like to admit. We have discussed the reasons, symptoms, and the damage done to those who have been unable to break free of such relationships. But there is also hope in first recognizing the problem and then using self-investigated ways to discover the patterns of your own childhood that may have encouraged you to even accept or surrender to dealing with people like this. And that is the gift of dealing, I believe, with a narcissistic personality disorder person. It gives you the gift to self-investigate and grow beyond your own situation. As Melanie and I have shown you, the strength of true healing lies within. when you know and accept how connected you are to the universal source of energy and love, and that you are never alone. Melanie and I would have you know, in one way or another, we are all the prisoners of our childhood training, patterning, and traumas. And as an adult, there are so many ways to mature and move past the illusion of the outside world and to know the peace and love within. Look for help. Ask for help. And be assured the right person, therapy, or situation will appear to move you forward. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within and author of The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to authors and leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, spiritual, medical, and psychological fields, as well as energy healers and those in the arts and music fields who offer ways to improve yourself, your communities, through higher consciousness and an awareness of self. Shows may be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.